This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Good morning, folks. A lot different this morning than yesterday morning. The sun was out. It was really a very pleasant walking downtown. It was great to get down to the New Orleans Riverside Hotel and Convention Center, one of the oldest of the big convention center hotels here in the city. And we'll have an opportunity to talk to David Piscola, general manager of the Hilton Riverside Hotel, later today. But this is New Orleans and Company during National Travel and Tourism Week hosting a luncheon, recognizing a whole host of people, those that are in management, those that are in operations, those who are in the trenches, turning the wrenches each and every day with a smile on their face. And remember what I always say, human nature is a first impression is a last impression. And I don't care where it is that you go, whether that's the airport or you leave the airport, your next experience, that first experience always is another impression that people remember. So when you pull up to a hotel and you're greeted by someone out front, they will remember that if it is someone with a smile on their face, excited about what they do, and excited to make you or to provide you an environment to really enjoy yourself and make it easy. Because sometimes travel is not so easy. And when it's not so easy, it's even more important that that first impression is one that just knocks your socks off. And we're joined now with a person who knows that better than anyone because he's living this day in, day out. That's Walt Leger III, president and CEO of New Orleans & Company. Walt, congratulations. Great event, sold-out event today here at New Orleans Riverside. I love that you guys are recognizing all different sorts of folks and where they are, from management, mid-level, those that are in the trenches, as I said earlier, turning the wrenches. You got to be really excited about this today.
Absolutely. It's a truly exciting day.
It's our first
in-person sort of luncheon type event like this since COVID.
Since COVID.
And since I've been here a part of the team. I think actually I was maybe got to do the first one weeks before COVID kind of started to close things down like this. And so we're,
so it's all your fault then about COVID.
It feels like the timing was kind of eerie. Yeah. I mean, but we're thrilled to be back. And to your point, celebrating people who are making it happen every day. You know, I mean, this industry is made up of people and, travel can be complicated. I spent the night at the Atlanta airport just two nights ago because of the weather here. We came, right. We flew in, circled New Orleans for a few hours around midnight, and then they took us back to Atlanta at 3 a.m., slept in the airport. And to your point, some of the service and the staff that we engaged with had at the airport in Atlanta had different attitudes. Right. There were two people I think of in my brain right now. And one was negative and one was positive, and I prefer the positive.
Yeah.
So, I, to your point, it's made up of people. People are imperfect, right. But the people of our city are a little more perfect than the people of other cities, and I think it's what makes it such a special place. You know, I mean, certainly there isn't anything that happens here that isn't built on the people making that experience matter and making it special.
And it's a nice reminder for folks when you recognize them and invite them to these events that what they do truly does matter, especially when you get dozens and dozens of letters from folks that y'all interact with and help set up their visit here, talking about these little nuanced experiences that they have with folks in this industry.
When you think about the power of travel, and we talk about it being a $2.9 trillion industry, it's really easy to forget about the people that make that happen. $2.9 trillion economic footprint of travel across the globe and to the United States. But all of that is based on the interactions that people have with individuals. And, you know, today we're recognizing transportation workers and people who are bus drivers who move people around the city and who very distinctly have an impact on what your experience is going to be, for the good or for the bad. And fortunately, a lot of the times here, it's for the good. And certainly the folks you're representing today are for the good. So while you talk about these huge dollar amounts and the economic impact on our community and how it helps pay for public safety and infrastructure and education and all of those things, I think it's important to drill down to the people and remember that it's about the impact that it has on those individuals, that it creates the visitorship creates an opportunity for a livelihood and for the ability to support a family. And more importantly, it speaks to the why. You know, I mean, why are people doing this? Why do people choose to live their life in that way and choose to work in an industry like this one that is of service to others on a daily basis? And I think it's because of the old kind of concept that you give what you get. And, you know, when you are able to open up and give somebody something and welcome someone, then you get a smile in return, or you get some other interaction in return that brightens your day a little bit too. And it makes, you know, the grind of day in and day out just a little bit better. And I think that's it's about experiences and the experiences you have with your fellow human being. And I think people tend to have magical ones when they're in our community, and it's obvious why, but we don't always talk about why.
Not unlike most industries, things just don't happen. You have to make them happen. This industry, though, even more so, right? Because it's all about execution. It's timing, because you're event to event to event, experience to experience to experience. This city's not always the easiest in some respect, because it's not like in San Diego, for example, you wake up 365 days a year and the weather is
perfect.
Exactly the same.
Yep.
Right?
Yep. Right.
Here, there are challenges on top of challenges on top of challenges. You have to pivot, you have to be nimble, you have to adapt, and you got to be able to provide folks easy access to a whole lot of things with a whole lot of challenges.
There, preview of some of my comments today, I mean, speak just to that. You know, I mean, Charles Darwin said it's not the most intellectually superior or the strongest species that survives, it's the one that's most open to adaptation.
Right.
And adaptability is really the key. And so in our industry, we talk about resilience a lot in our community. I know there are a lot of people who wish they didn't have to be so resilient, but resilience and adaptability is the foundation of life, right? Not just in this industry, but in almost any industry. The reality, though, is, to your point, when you're dealing with thousands of human beings that, and what's also great about being here at the Hilton today is they got a bunch of meetings and conferences going on, not just our meeting.
There's three or four things happening
at the same time.
Huge trucking thing going on across the hall.
And so adaptability and the ability to pivot is essential in this industry. And our people execute that very, very well. Despite, the challenges that pop up, you make it happen. We had the snowstorm in the middle of the National Auto Dealers event just a few days ago, right? It seems like 10 years ago, but it was just a few days ago, in the 20th day of the year.
Right.
And, we had to switch the load in and get them loaded in so that they were stable and set. And then we had to flex and figure out how to get people in. Events were moved and rescheduled and moved around. Ultimately delivered, at a very high level, which has allowed us to confirm future business with that critical partner of ours. So I think people in this industry are rewarded for being adaptable and resilient. And so it's a good thing that it's become a strength of ours to be able to ensure that our partners in production know that they've got a partner that's going to be as flexible as they need us to be.
If you would talk about this for a moment, a lot of folks take for granted what y'all do, how this works and everything else. The monetary financial oomph that's provided allows us to leverage so many other things. We oftentimes refer to it as punching above our weight with all that we have to offer in this city that you typically wouldn't see in a third tier city. It's here. What I love about what you guys at New Orleans and Company have been doing is leveraging that to do and bring a lot of other things here. Not necessarily in the tourism related industry, but in the economic development, under the economic development umbrella.
When you're a city of 375,000 people in a region of, let's say, 1.2, 1.3 million, and you're competing with major cities with major corporate presence and support, that competition is stiff. But to your point, when you're able, and that's why something like a Super Bowl, I mean, we've talked about this a lot, but that's an important event at the moment. It happens in, February 9th of 25 is great. We had a week of events and things that were happening, no doubt significant economic impact for the community. But you're able to leverage something like that to continue to communicate that this is one of the most significant places in the world. We work with UNESCO. We work with Michelin, other brands that are universal and known. We work with Disney and so many other partners to try to continue to ensure that we're elevated in that way, because not every community has those opportunities. That's being brought to us because of the because we have, some of the world's greatest food with Michelin, or because we've got some of the most creative culture with Disney. Or we've got some of the greatest music anywhere on the planet, and we've been a birthplace of jazz, but also all the spin-offs of that that have also come from New Orleans with UNESCO. And all those things keep the brand elevated in a way that reminds people that, who we are and what we're about here. And it creates, as you said, unlimited opportunity to be able to sell. Now, you've got to do the other things right, well also, right? You've got to continue to improve public education and infrastructure and, technology and continue to grow the healthcare sector and support the universities and do the other things, put the other building blocks in place. But, minus the ability to elevate the culture and the city in the way that we have through visitorship, it's hard to even know if you're on the map for consideration for any of those things, yeah, or if you're thought of at all.
But, it's interesting, as you point out, the wins in healthcare, the wins in education, wins, all of that actually piques the interest and the curiosity of travelers, right? They like to go to areas where they see
things are happening.
Things happening, where they see an incredible hospital or they see educational institutions, because they'll actually visit them.
I think that it's incumbent on us to recognize what attracts people's interest, and what attracts people's interest is progress. Mm-hmm. What we need to continue to do is build a narrative around that, not a narrative around something else. There are narratives that exist. Certainly in New Orleans, there are narratives about the struggles that we have and the challenges that we have. We have to continue to embrace the positive narratives and remind people. I get a lot of messages, and we've talked offline, a lot of them are negative. They're mm-hmm. complaining about something or the other. And, that could be even the Super Bowl. The Super Bowl wasn't great for my business, or Taylor Swift wasn't great for my business. I'm glad it was good for everyone else, but it wasn't great for me. And so there's all these things, and it's okay. I feel like I need to know those things, and mm-hmm. so I can help to improve them. But I also got a text the other morning that said, sometimes I forget about how special this place is. All it took was my car being in the shop, though. I commuted using the streetcar this morning. I connected on a bus line and came up Canal Street. And they were both spectacular experiences. And it reminded me of just how beautiful and unique our city is. And I was like, thank you for sending me this message. I needed this today. And we sometimes need to remind ourselves that though we sometimes focus on the negatives, which maybe we should, because we want to improve them, right? And it's our home and we want it to be better.
Yeah.
the folks from the outside focus on the positives because, you know, that's what you get to do when you visit a place. And they believe this is one of the most remarkable and unique places anywhere. And that's why we're able to keep attracting them back. And a lot of that's about continuing to tell that story. Our job here is to keep making it a better place so that it'll be a great place to live and work and grow and raise a family. And that will keep us an attractive place to visit. But to your point, people want to go where things are happening, where investment's happening. We need to keep making sure that we not just protect the culture and preserve it, but that we also, you know, persevere and move forward with progress as well. Yeah. And that means new things.
It's funny you say that because every time I get in a, you know, traffic, and it takes me 20 minutes to get home from the office to the house, I have to remind myself there's not many places that you can typically do it in 12.
No, that's right.
You know, and it's like
there's a compactness here that we take for granted. Yeah. I was in Bogota, Colombia for an international conference on meetings with meeting planners. And the tour guide told us, sorry about the traffic jam that we're in right now. During the week, we have a lot of traffic jams. And then on the weekend, we have even more traffic jams. Right. And, you know, it was difficult to move around. And it's a city of 10 million people, by the way.
Right.
So, I mean, a different vibe altogether. But, you know, we do take for granted the compactness and the ability to move around. Not that traffic is ever going to not be annoying.
Yeah.
You know, that is what it is.
Left my house, went to Jazz Fest. It took me 9.5 minutes. You know?
Should have only taken three, right?
Yeah. Right.
I think I get that a lot when, you know, my kids go to school about 14 minutes from my house. And people are like, I can't believe you drive them all the way out there. I'm like, it's 14 minutes. We have a lot to be grateful for here.
No doubt.
At Jazz Fest, as you said, I mean, think about that celebration. We take it for granted, but it's really, truly a remarkable gathering of talent from around the world. And, you know, as we always say, our community should be getting better, stronger in so many ways, and we're going to all keep working to do that. But sometimes you do have to pause and recognize that you live in one of the most special communities anywhere and celebrate it around the world. Not the biggest place, but certainly one that lives in people's minds and imaginations, and that they either, I mean, I don't meet anyone anywhere that doesn't say, I can't wait to come back, or I've never been and I can't wait to come.
Yeah.
And I that's just unbelievable.
Absolutely.
And so then the job is on us to ensure that the experience is good when they come here and that we continue to grow the opportunity to bring different and diverse groups and organizations here that have impacts on the community in different ways as they go. Not every event is going to benefit every business, but we do want people to continue to come in and spend their dollars that then allow our city and region and state to reinvest those dollars for the betterment of the community, and that's ultimately what it's about.
Now, your organization, for me, is an interesting one. First off, I love the folks in the hospitality and tourism industry. I think they're some of the funnest people to be around. They're the glass half full, you know, kind of folks. But you have some of your fiercest competitors that come together inside your organization. And what I love about that is they really do cheerlead for each other. You don't always see that.
I think it's a great point. You certainly could have restaurants who are competing as hard as they can on one day, but also joining hands the next to tell people about the story of our community and how unique it is. Our organization, our board, it's made up of members and member businesses who are all competing with each other.
Mm-hmm.
But they recognize that through our team, they can partner and we can go fight and beat another city to bring economic opportunity to the community. And then they're going to, you know, scrap for it, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's the American way. Like, let's win as a community. And then, you know, we'll all go compete and may the best woman or the best man win. But to your point, there is a special look. I work with these cities all over through various industry boards and other organizations, and we advocate together for the travel industry. But we're certainly competing. And one thing that I think is clear is that our community really does compete as a community first and say, let's win for our city. And then let's, you know, we'll see. We'll let the chips fall where they may, and we'll compete for it. And, you know, that does create winners and losers. It does create those phone calls where it says, well, I'm glad y'all got that conference, but you know, no one stayed at my hotel or no one bought out my restaurant for that event. And so the challenge then for us in the pressure on us, which is a privilege to have that pressure, is to try to continue to spread that and mm-hmm. continue to spread the opportunity. And I think there, when it, it, we need to keep diversifying the economy so there's not so much pressure on this industry.
That's right.
And we want to help make that happen. But pressure is a privilege. And for our team at New Orleans and Company, I think we recognize there's pressure on us to deliver. Sometimes that's hard. But ultimately, competing for your community is a great reason to get up every morning and just keep going and look at things as glass half full, and also not, and be a realist about it. How can we improve that? How do we make this better? But ultimately, how do we highlight the good, package it, and then bring in the opportunity for people? So I think, to your point, it's a privilege to have that kind of level of pressure to deliver.
Well, Walt, congratulations. It's really an honor for us to be here today to share this experience.
Thanks for being part of it.
That y'all are providing to so many folks that you will recognize today and through this event. And we really appreciate the partnership. Walt Leger, folks, President and CEO of New Orleans and Company. We're here for the National Travel and Tourism Week. This is a recognition banquet, and it's a sold-out affair here at the Hilton New Orleans Riverside. Excited to be here. Best of luck. Congratulations.
Always appreciate the ability to be with you. Thank you, Noel.
Thank you, sir. We'll be right back, folks. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. Stay with us. When we return, we'll visit with David Piscola, General Manager of the Hilton Riverside Hotel. We'll be right back.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. factormeals.com/listen50, code LISTEN50.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Back. Welcome back, folks. We are broadcasting live here at New Orleans Riverside, Hilton New Orleans Riverside. I got it backwards. Got it right that time. We are here for the National Travel and Tourism Luncheon that's being put on by New Orleans and Company. They're celebrating across the country National Travel and Tourism all week long. And they will be recognizing a whole lot of folks that work in this industry. And very excited about folks from the down in the trenches, you know, turning the wrenches, greeting people each and every day and the like. And our next guest knows all about the machinations of all of that. David Piscola, the general manager at Hilton Riverside Hotel here. David, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me back.
So we were just talking about when this hotel opened, 1977.
Correct.
And really started the rejuvenation of this end of Porter Street.
Yeah, I mean, we opened in 77 as part of a real transformation of the city under Moon Landrieu's administration.
And this hotel opened, and soon thereafter, in 84, was the World's Fair. And then right after the World's Fair was phase one of the Convention Center, which really was the transformation of the economy of the city of New Orleans.
I mean, we had a tourism footprint, but it really did not take off.
Yeah, Rivergate was great. I mean, it was a great convention center, but not nearly on the national stage like our current convention center is. 2 million square feet, sixth largest in the country. Because of the building of this hotel, other hotels like it, and the convention center, we really transformed the economy of the city of New Orleans, and really what I think replaced a lot of really solid paying jobs. There's about 85,000 jobs that are directly attributable to the hospitality industry here in the region. In the city and around us. And, you know, what had occurred was the port had a lot of great middle-class jobs that were occurring, mainly stevedores, people carrying things off boats. And in the late 60s, early 70s, a lot of that was transformed with containerization. And those jobs were really eliminated. And so everybody along the Irish Channel area of the city, just upriver from here, really were put out of work. And so we were able to create an industry, a vibrant industry, and provide really solid careers for people.
Now, you guys, y'all ended up doing right before, I think, the World's Fair.
We expanded the hotel.
And since that time, you guys have continued to be, I think, the largest hotel in the city, right?
We're the largest hotel in the city, largest hotel in the state, largest hotel in about five states. We're the fifth largest Hilton in the world, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
It's an amazing asset. I think a lot of people don't realize it, but you know, Riverwalk Mall, we own the Riverwalk Mall.
Right.
We're one of the largest parking operators in the city. We have over 3,000 parking spots. We're the only hotel on the river itself, and we have our own cruise ship dock. So back in the day, we had a casino. We had the Flamingo casino that was docked here.
Left a few dollars there.
Yeah. and of course, we have the Creole Queen that docks with it every day, but a lot of the cruise ships dock on my dock. And that's another part of the tourism industry is...
Well, then you have to be a Hilton hotel that is unique in more ways than one from all others.
Absolutely. When you think about it, even something as simple as Lester Kabakov, who was our creator, developer of the hotel, was a big tennis guy. Mm-hmm. And so we built the largest fitness center in the city, the only indoor tennis facility within the city, 100,000 square feet, pickleball, tennis.
Pickleball players than anybody.
Exactly right.
I tried that once, pulled my hamstring first day out.
But it's a great transition. It really is. For some of our more mature members that are transitioning out of tennis and pickleball. Balls is great.
And also a transition relative to Mardi Gras. Big balls. And you had some of the biggest space. Still, we all know about the Harry Lee Fado Doe parties that used to be here.
Yeah.
That was one of the biggest because it was almost every meeting room on this floor, right?
In fact, Bacchus board members were just here yesterday for their annual board meeting. We great partner of ours, Bacchus, but we have Endymion, Iris, Isis, you name it, we have it here. Zulu. What's great about this hotel is it's just not a business. It's not just simply a business. It's really a cornerstone to the community. There's just been countless balls, galas, weddings, anniversaries, meetings that have taken place here, and we're a part of it. You know, there's this saying, 6 degrees to Kevin Bacon. You know, you can always find a way to can figure out where it is. Well, what I learned when I got here 8 years ago was that I'll meet someone on the street, and they have a connection to this hotel in one form or fashion or another.
Right.
They worked here. They know somebody that works here. They did a ball here, whatever it may be. And we really are a community in and of itself. It's really great.
Actually, I'm going to be traveling abroad here in a couple of weeks with someone who worked here for a long, long time.
Okay, who's that?
David Blitz.
Oh, of course. David was here yesterday, a good friend of mine. We've known each other for 30 years.
Yeah, so we look forward to that.
And that's Croatia?
Yes, that's how I met him here. And he was, we used to tease him all the time about being neck deep in the Fado Dome. But then so many of my folks that went to high school with me at Jesuit have come up through this place as well.
And it's amazing, you know, when you mentioned mentioned, David, and we continue this legacy. It's been a part of our DNA here at the Riverside forever. But David and another person that you might know, Tony Abbott,
that's who I was thinking about.
A long-term guy.
Jesuit guy.
Yeah, they formed a charity while they were working here called the Louisiana Hospitality Foundation. And that foundation raises money and does emergency grants for people in our industry that have run into hard times. So right now they're working with one of my team members whose house burned down, and they're able to quickly and efficiently, you know, provide funds for that person and help through some tough times. So they just hosted, we were participants in it, the Zurich and the Four Kids Foundation. Yep. They do a lot of that. So if you're out at the 17th hole, the 18th hole, or the 18th hole suites, that's all David, Tony, and the team from the Louisiana Hospitality Foundation.
You know, it's interesting, and we only have a minute, but how many people come up through the restaurant industry, the hospitality industry, and go on to become CEOs of major companies, not only here, but around the country and around the world?
Yeah, yeah. It's a unique industry, quite frankly, in that it's great to have a formal education. But, like, I started as a dishwasher. And you could do that. You can matriculate through our industry, starting from humble beginnings, and really make a fantastic career and really change what I call is generational change. So you're not just simply changing yourself. You're changing your family, your kids, and your kids' kids, and so on. And it's a unique industry to be able to do that. You don't have to be a doctor, a lawyer, or an Indian chief. You could just be a humble dishwasher and go to great things.
Move up and be in the center of
everything
that goes on in a city. Well, David Piscola, thank you so much for joining us, general manager here at the Hilton Riverside Hotel. Y'all, this place has truly been transformational. I think it's the only hotel in the city that's got a circle in front, too.
Right? I think it is. You're absolutely
that's
right.
That's a special little nuance as well.
Which was one of our donations to the city, quite
yes.
frankly, when it was built.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Remember it well. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank
Best of luck to
me.
You.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
We'll be right back, folks. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and text line. Stay with us. We are back here, folks, and our next guest is someone everyone is familiar with. We have him on the show quite a bit. Billy Nungesser, the Lieutenant Governor of Louisiana. He always finds time for us, and we appreciate same. And he is one of the biggest cheerleaders for the tourism and hospitality industry, not only for the New Orleans metro area, but throughout the state of Louisiana to try and increase these numbers. Billy, let's start with how important is National Travel and Tourism Week?
Well, it's a big part of our tourism industry. They stay longer. They spend more money. They don't just go see New Orleans. They'll go see 2-3 states, but they see a lot of cities and towns in every state. So it's a big part. The Canadian market is really hurting. We've had many of we go every 5 years to the Congre. The next year, they come to Lafayette. Mm-hmm. Which is this year. Most of those groups have canceled. I've had many conference calls, and they still love Louisiana, but the people just aren't coming because of the 51st state and the tariffs, and it's just a bad time, and we're hoping we can get this solved quickly and get back, because that's a big part of our market.
It's hard to bounce back from hiccups, right? I mean, it's hard to reestablish. It's a very competitive business. You see this a lot as you travel around the country. You visit with other lieutenant governors. Along that front, what are other lieutenant governors saying about where they see this tourism industry and travel industry going in their states?
Well, you know, we hit way above our weight for our size, the number of people that come to Louisiana, and a lot of those states wish they had the food, the music, but the 400 fairs and festivals that we have, a great tool in our toolbox. But they're concerned. I just got back from a conference, both Republicans and Democrats, about these tariffs and how they could affect long term if we don't get them solved and put behind us international travel. You know, we had just gotten a grant to go to 3 new international markets, India, Spain, Italy. And India was the number 2 international travel to America last year. Great market for us. And so we've kind of looking at it and saying, you know, how much do we invest there, knowing the attitude right now of the foreign visitor. So I'm hoping we can get this put behind us and something gets resolved so we can get back to welcome those people.
A lot of times we have to pivot and have people travel from, you know, within 60, 70, 80 miles. and it's important that we keep that alive and well. How is that going?
No, we exactly right. No, what we've done is we're looking at the drive market, especially when we have delays with flights and things that cause at the airlines. We always make a big push when that happens, when people look at, hey, I'm not going to go stand in line and get my flight canceled. So we make a big push in the drive market. We've been very successful. I'll tell you, the mountain bike trail and the horseback riding, the private-public partnership at Boca Chica, we get 1,000 people from 15 states every month there. They stay in hotels all the way to A-Meet. They'll come to New Orleans just to ride that mountain bike trail, which is the number two mountain bike trail in the country now.
Wow.
So we're using...
How did that happen so fast?
Just a great partner. And you know, we're looking for partners in all of our state parks, Resort Conference Center at Fontainebleau. We're talking to some groups now. But we're going to make our park something... People want to travel and do the outdoors. And we're going to make our park second to none, where they're an attraction to come to Louisiana and then enjoy the food, the music.
Instead of a burden. And I mean, truly, the way that we looked upon them for many, many years was that they were just a burden.
And now we have 7 actually making a profit. And I see a day when all of our parks can generate millions of dollars for the state.
Well, they each have their own unique characteristics and beauty, right? But you gotta market it, you gotta highlight it, you gotta educate people about what it is.
Well, in respect to the last lieutenant governor, the governor swept all the money generated for 8 years from the parks. And so they had no money, they were falling apart. Matter of fact, you know, I was told you have to close some, they're in bad shape. But our sheriffs really stepped up with volunteers and work release prisons to help us fix things and keep them open. And now, thanks to the support with the legislature and getting our numbers up, we topped 2 million visitors for the first time ever at our state parks. And they just continue to generate. We've got the best fishing. We're building special needs playgrounds, which has been a big hit with this track chair. We can take your child out of a wheelchair, put in a track chair, and go into the woods. Those things are booked every weekend at no cost to their family to use those things. So we're making our parks inviting to the special needs community that has really changed lives of many of these young people.
It's good to hear that, because, you know, as we're putting a product out there, and you and I have talked about this before, you don't always hit home runs, but you can hit singles every day, right?
Absolutely. And, you know, somebody was telling me, why did we get out the Macy's Parade? Well, we had a 3-year contract, and the last year they were running behind, they didn't even let our performers sing. They zipped by. So we got to get a return on investment. The Rose Parade, we knock it out the park. We have a satellite truck, and we interview from 5 in the morning to 10 at night. Everybody in the country like to see how they build a float. We give it to them. We just ask for 5 minutes at the morning show to talk about Louisiana, the food. And so that thing, we get $25 to $40 million return on our investment for less than $1 million. So we great everything we do to make sure we get the most return. And we make some mistakes, and
sure,
we pivot and go in a different direction.
Well, you take risk.
Absolutely.
They don't all pay off, right? As long as they're calculated risks on the front end, but you don't control everything.
No, it's and I tell you, working with New Orleans and Company, and I see you got Steve Perry coming in.
Yeah.
When I first got elected, Steve, his first job was working for my dad in Baton Rouge. And he said, you know, Billy, we got a real problem the way the rest of the state feels about New Orleans. And I've made an effort to spend as much time in North Louisiana as I do in South. And we hired a team to go around the country and bring sporting events. We had Olympic trials in Shreveport for volleyball, for golf. We had the Dizzy Dean World Series in Ruston. I made an all-out effort to make sure we're promoting all of Louisiana. And I tell you, that advice from Steve was incredible, because now we don't get any pushback when we try to get funding for big events like Super Bowl and the Final Fours in New Orleans, and we have to fund those events. The rest of the legislators in the state don't, you know, yell and scream and say New Orleans gets everything, because they're getting their fair share of tourism money, and we sponsor every event in every corner of the state. And that was great advice from Steve Perry when I first got elected.
You know, and I just had this conversation with Walt Leger, is that you're bringing together some of the fiercest competitors here locally, you know, the different brands of hotels, the different restaurants, the different this, the different that, the same thing with all these respective communities across the state. Yes, we're all one, but we're competing, right? And you got to do, you got to share, and you got to promote each other, because the tide will ultimately rise for everyone.
And New Orleans and Company has done a great job at knowing when people come to New Orleans, we want them to know there's more to Louisiana than just New Orleans. Because you come back to New Orleans so many times, if you don't venture out and see other things, and every time you come, you can venture out if you got an hour, an extra day, to go see other parts of Louisiana. They've been a great partner in doing that. And we recently put some screens in a booth in the convention center. So when you're here for a convention, you can go see and get brochures for other parts of the state and see those beautiful videos of all the other great things to see in Louisiana.
Yeah, I've seen that. Obviously, still trying to deal with issues in the French Quarter. I know you've been very active in that respect, wanting to make sure that what we've been able to accomplish through this heavy holiday season, where we had a lot of events to include Taylor Swift, the Super Bowl, we've talked about that a million times, and keeping that momentum going, what do you see there?
Well, you know, early on, I had an agreement with the mayor to manage the quarter separately. Like we talked about San Diego, Nashville. It's such an asset to the whole state. And there's not enough voters in the quarter to ever make it really get the funding and the backing by the council. They got their own districts, and they've got to get reelected. So I'm hoping the next mayor will work with us to make that a historical district that we can manage with residents and businesses, much like they do in other areas, to make it the prime jewel it should be. I tell you, state police and New Orleans police working with those new crime cameras, if you go into my museum where we gave them an office, and they're catching people in real time, facial recognition, before they commit the crimes, they're taking criminals off the street.
Absolutely.
And we already see the difference in the quarter. I was down there for Super Bowl and French Quarter Fest, and I felt safe. And that's something you hadn't felt in a long time. And you're hearing it from the shop owners. There's a breath of fresh air going into this next year with the mayor's race. You know, we got a little pushback on this garbage contract, which was absolutely ridiculous. It's the quarter's cleaner than it's ever been. And we don't want to take that momentum away.
No doubt, for sure. Billy Nungesser, Lieutenant Governor for the great state of Louisiana, thank you so much for spending some time with us this morning. We truly appreciate it, and have a great week.
You too. Great to be with you, Noah.
Thank you, sir. We'll be right back. 504-260-1870 on the Open Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. Stay with us. Welcome back, folks. That's right. We are here at the Hilton New Orleans Riverside, and we're with a gentleman who really began this transformation. That's Stephen Perry. He was the former CEO of New Orleans and Company, and he joins us. Stephen, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Noah. So great to see you.
So, Stephen, you were working in state government. You, you know, kind of transformed that into coming down here, and we had an organization down here, but it wasn't quite the organization that you left in the hands of Walt Leger. It was something entirely different, but you grew this organization into being an industry leader and a well-respected organization, and really providing a lot of sustenance on so many different fronts to the city's economy and the metropolitan area's economy, as well as the state.
Yeah, and you know, Noel, it's so important when you come in and take over an organization that you begin to think a little bit globally, strategically, because times are going to change.
Mm-hmm.
The world is radically different. I came in right after 9/11.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and we think of how much has changed in our world, and everything from funding to the culture to the way the city looks to all of that, and so I think Walt's been doing a terrific job. I think Billy Nungesser has done a wonderful job being the ambassador around the world for Louisiana. And, you know, I'm just really optimistic about the future. But I will tell you, in our business, if you're not nimble and you don't adjust, and you know it from all the parts of your life, think about how much the rules have changed in things you have done over the years.
No doubt. No doubt. I mean, it's You know, when you don't recognize it until you kind of look back upon it, right?
You need a little perspective. You know, I have been in the inside of things for, you know, 35, 40 years. You know, I was the longest serving chief of staff to a governor in Louisiana history, because mm-hmm. they usually burn out after about a year and a half. And, You know, getting to see that, I think, prepares you just like nothing else you could ever do to be able to come down then and manage New Orleans' largest industry. And especially, look, it was hard because we happened to have gone through some of the worst events and episodes ever, you know, Katrina, the 08 financial crash and the explosion of competition around the country. You know, New Orleans.
Not to mention other hurricanes.
And then all the other hurricanes that came in and then COVID.
Yeah.
You know, people don't realize that when COVID hit, we started losing in the first week $225 million a week. That's a lot of jobs, a lot of money, a lot of taxes.
Nope.
You know, it was tough. But now, you know, we're on the way back, and it's been fun seeing my last involvement with getting Super Bowls and Final Fours. You know, we just did those the last 2 years, Super Bowl this year. And so, you know, you look back with a lot of pride because this city is just like no other place.
Yeah. What when you started in this position, if you can remember, what surprised you the most?
Gosh, you know, I had a pretty good familiarity with it because from the governor's office, I was very connected on...
Stephen, let me interrupt you 1 second. We have some breaking news.
Absolutely.
Who are we going to, Coleman? Let's go to Ian Ozan for breaking news in our newsroom. Ian?
Thank you, Newell. Abemus Papam. We have a pope. White smoke, bells ringing in the Vatican, signifying that the conclave has elected a new pope on the fourth ballot. When we get a feed from CBS, we'll be going live there. We don't know who the pope is just yet, but we do know a pope has been elected.
Thank you, Ian Ozan, for that update.
That's big.
Was wondering how long it was going to take.
That's quick. You
know, fourth ballot.
No, that was they just closed the doors to the Sistine Chapel yesterday. So that's that tells me it's likely one of the Italian candidates that was leading. That would be my unofficial guess. We'll find out shortly.
We may have to interrupt.
No, absolutely.
So we were talking about what surprised you most.
You know, what surprised me most was how our industry nationally was on the verge of exploding. Because when I came in, we really had 5 competitors, maybe 6. And by the time I left, we had 29 competitors.
Wow.
That made getting every convention an infinitely more difficult. It made sporting, well, you know what happens in sporting events. We were getting Final Fours and Super Bowls every 4 years. But now that since then it became tied to the development of new stadiums and new arenas and investment of public dollars. And so they've been spread out. And so now we've got a whole new set of challenges because we're going to need to drive a new volume of business to the city, and we can't rely on all of the old tried and true that, you know, delivered for us. So it's going to be tremendously involved. And I hate to get political for a second, and I won't get into specifics, but I will tell you this. The thing that New Orleans needs more than anything is a new national narrative.
Mm-hmm.
And that national narrative is not about the tourism industry because it's highly respected. The hotels, the restaurants, the music. The city has got to be looked upon differently. And we've got to be better at execution of running cities.
Well, you know as well as I, that starts with credible leadership.
It does.
And not just leadership, credible leadership. It has to come with a sense and a feeling of credibility in everything that we do, everything that we say.
It, you know, I think that goes without saying because it is, in essence, although it's not really a corporation, it's the most important corporation
sure.
in the city because it affects and touches the lives of everyone. And how the city performs the way it looks, and look, you know, you've heard Billy and I talk about this for ages, Billy Nungesser and I, but there's no other city in the country that would have not developed and cleaned and redone the infrastructure in the French Quarter when it's the cash cow that keeps the entire city and its tax base going. So I think that's something that's going to be job one for the new mayor.
You know what I find interesting, and I want to get your perspective on this, is that oftentimes I don't know that our people understand the uniqueness of that piece of geography over there. Your thoughts?
I can tell you they don't. I mean, I know that from having been an outsider, having grown up around LSU, and then spending, you know, more than half of my adult life in New Orleans. Those that are here, they love it with a passion every day, but we've been too willing, those of us who live here have been too willing to accept the flaws and just chalk it off to, well, that's just the way it is. You can't do that, Newell. You just can't up mistakes and things to being, that's the way things are. We need a new way of doing business, and we need great leadership, we need accountability, but we need great staffs also, you know, to come in with whomever becomes the new mayor. So everyone's looking at it.
I know it's cliche, not to interrupt, and I apologize,
no,
but I want to get your thought on this. We often refer to where we are in time, you know, as whether or not on this timeline is a defining moment. I happen to believe that this is a big, big one. We had one in the aftermath of Katrina, and it didn't go so well. And we're still suffering the ills of our inability to get out of our own way in many respects. But I think this one...
It's of particularly heightened importance. Every block of time, whether it's a nation, a state, or a city, has discrete periods of time, each of which have their own trials and tribulations and their own challenges. And there are things that have to be done, and more often than not, they're not done. Now, what's happened here now is the last number of years it's added up. And that cumulative effect, Newell, is just not, it's too impactful on the way we look, the way we feel. We need it. You know, it's not just the political officials that need a rearrangement of attitude. It's every one of us.
Oh, sure.
Because we need to raise our expectations and demand it of the government that we pay for.
Yeah, there is no doubt about that. It's not any one sector or one part of the community. It's the community working in collaboration together. We need to look ourselves in the mirror critically each and every moment and each and every day and understand where we are less than and improve upon that, right?
No, I mean, that is absolutely the case. And I'm optimistic. You know, I'm always optimistic until I'm proved wrong.
Yeah.
But I feel like we got a chance here now.
Yeah. All right, we got to go for a special report. Who are we going to, Coleman? We're going to go for a CBS News update going now. The white smoke is bellowing out
awesome.
Of that pipe on the top of the Sistine Chapel. Say again. All right, we're waiting for that transition.
All we can say
over
is
to CBS News.
Viva il Papa.
Yeah.
Viva il Papa.
You know, it's funny, these moments, too. Like, you were sitting here, we're talking about the moments in time over, and the challenges in the city of New Orleans, and then we have this transfer of this sacred authority for Catholics and Christians, you know, relative to the naming of a new pope.
I mean, it's just immense.
Here we go. Okay. I thought that we were going to CBS, but we're back. We're visiting with Stephen Perry, the former CEO of New Orleans & Company. You were here how many years? Let's see, from
21 years.
21 years.
Yeah, it was. I came here straight. They recruited me straight from the governor's office in our last year up there.
As you were leaving, what would you say you thought were going to be some of the biggest challenges? I mean, this industry's changing all the time. I mean, and it's influenced by so many things, you know, auto travel, air travel, you know, we're going to electric vehicles, this, that. I mean, there are so many moving parts.
Well, I think it comes down, Newell, to two things. One, you've got to have continuity of all the things that work beautifully. And we had a CEO for 30 years. Most people don't realize Ed McNeil, who is a legend in our business. And a lot of people don't realize in the last 51 years, we only had two CEOs. I mean, that says a lot for stability.
No, it does.
But what happens, and Ed had it, and I had it, and now Walt has it, you've got to maintain the continuity and the stability, but you've got to begin adapting and evolving because the people's tastes change, the way they look at the world changes. This world is so much smaller than it was 20 years ago. I mean, because think of how many people we know now over this last two or three decades that don't think twice about going to Europe.
Right.
You know, and how many tourists from Europe come here and from all over the world. Yet everything affects that buying decision because you have so many choices as a consumer, whether it's in the United States alone, if you're making a domestic choice or going overseas. You know, it was one of the reasons that we all always tried to harness a little bit of both, you know, for people, particularly in the upper Midwest. And we would let them know that New Orleans was the closest thing they would get to going to Paris. You know, and the truth is, it's not Paris, but I will tell you this. It's different than every other place.
No doubt.
And I knew what I used to say in speeches that when you come to New Orleans, it's like you unzip your outer skin and you kind of molt and you become a new person because more things are permissible.
Sure.
Than they might have been in rural Kansas or rural Illinois. You're exposed to new foods and new spices and new behaviors and a very multicultural place. And that's what makes it, you know, when people travel, they want to see something new.
No doubt.
That's what they go to do. You know, they want to get out of their world.
And for us, it happens in reverse. So when we
exactly.
go into a bar and we walk out with a drink in our hand and they're almost handcuffing us and throwing us against the wall, it's like, what did I do?
Let me tell you what. I did that at the Super Bowl in Detroit a number of years ago when Jerome Bettis and Mike Tomlin, and they won their Super Bowl. I walked out of my hotel literally with a glass. And I mean, two policemen were on me within, and I'm not exaggerating, within 5 to 7 seconds, stopping me, questioning me, telling me that that's against the law here and you have to go back.
But
inside.
We get an immunity because typically when I tell folks, guys, I'm from New Orleans, and they said, oh, okay, we understand.
No, they do. No, they really do. You know, when I was running the LSU board and we had taken a trip up to Washington to play University of Washington when Mark Emmert was president, we're all purple and gold, but we had over 25,000 Tiger fans that
right.
went to Seattle. 9 o'clock on Saturday morning, they're all out in the streets trying to find bars that are open and celebrating. And people would look at like, it's not 2 o'clock yet. And we're like, wait, what? But you realize, look, I know this contributes to some of the imperfections that we
of
are.
Course.
And there's no way to say it doesn't. But the reality is we're a unique people with a unique spirit. And you know, may God shed his grace on us forever and help us keep getting better and better.
Absolutely. And we deserve it.
We do, and we need it.
And we need it. I've really enjoyed having this time with you, Stephen Perry, former CEO at New Orleans & Company. Thank you so much for joining us today. We really appreciate it. And thank you for so many years of your dedicated service to our community and your leadership.
It's been fun. Neil, great to see
great
you.
Great to see you.
You look younger, by the way. I don't know what you're doing.
I drink a little wine. That's about it. We'll be right back, folks. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and text line. Stay with us. That's right, folks. We are here for the National Travel and Tourism Luncheon at the Hilton New Orleans Riverside, put on by New Orleans & Company. And one of the things that I really love about what they're doing out here today is that they are honoring folks that are in the trenches, turning the wrenches, as cliche as all of that sounds, but they are the true difference makers. Because you've heard me say over and over again, the first impression is a lasting impression. And both of these folks have been the first impression for so many folks that have visited the place that we call home. And it's got to be quite an honor for this recognition. First, Ms. Bobby Menino, who is the PR manager for ExperienceNewOrleans.com and also business manager for Mid-South Women in Tourism and... Is it
Skal New Orleans.
I just want to make sure I got that right. And also Mr. Bobby Green, who is a motor coach driver with Hotard Lines for 42 years. First, let me just say congratulations.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And thank you for all of the dedication that you've given to your respective industries and the fact that we have been the beneficiary of your hard work on so many different fronts. We'll go ladies first, if you don't mind, Bobby. And so, Ms. Menino, they told you about this award. Were you surprised?
I was totally surprised. You know, when you love what you're doing and then you get acknowledged for what you love to do,
right?
It's the icing on the cake.
And I know that you've probably come across so many different people in this industry. What has been kind of your one little tidbit of advice that you would give anybody coming into this industry?
Oh, this is easy, okay? This is easy. If you're in sales and marketing for a specific product, hotel, restaurant, you have to remember that you have to sell your destination first. Because if you don't get them here, you don't get a piece of the pie, right? So if you're working a trade show, New Orleans is what you're selling.
Absolutely. And Mr. Green, Bobby Green, motor coach driver at Hotard, 42 years. You know, you're moving a piece of heavy equipment day in
right.
and day out. You got a lot of people in the back, and I'm sure you're having conversations with them.
Right.
What bit of it, were you surprised when you got the call, the recognition?
I was very surprised. And when I found out about it, I said, ooh, wow, that's a big achievement, you know. Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah.
And what would be your bit of advice that you would give folks entering this? And how rewarding has this been for you?
Very rewarding because, like I said, I meet all types of people from all over. And then the key about dealing with folks that come into New Orleans is the smile and the firm handshake that gets them.
That gets them.
That gets them, yeah. And they love it.
And it's, you know, I've said this over and over again about a first impression is a lasting impression, and that's human nature.
Mm-hmm.
Your thought about that.
It is because, like, when the people come in, you can look at, you can feel them out. They have a certain type of look on their face. But when you walk up to them, hey, welcome to New Orleans. And you're going to have a good time, enjoy yourself. And so then the connection with the eyes and the handshake, that tells it all right there.
All of their worries and you know, with all the baggage that they have and, you know, figuratively speaking, just melts away, right?
Right. It just disappears, you know. Yeah.
Miss Bobby?
Well, you know, what we New Orleans is so blessed to have so many great things, you know, music and food and attractions, et cetera. But it's the people here. It's the people in New Orleans that help the visitor want to come back. because it, where everybody is just so friendly and want, they want the visitor to experience the best that it can be, you know. And it's my favorite thing is when someone tells me New Orleans is my home away from home.
Isn't it? And I've heard that from folks,
yeah,
too. I mean,
yeah,
it kind of touches your heart, you know. You get like a little shudder, you know?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely. One of the things I do is these days, because over my 51 years, things have changed. But what I do now is that with Experience New Orleans, I'm like an online concierge.
Mm-hmm.
So the questions come in, and someone might say, I need someone to tell me, like, what's the first thing to do for Mardi Gras? Like, what? Tell me about Mardi Gras.
Right.
And I, you know what I'd say? I say, here's my phone number. Because it will be so much easier to explain how Mardi Gras works than right. to try to put it in writing.
Put it in writing. No. Mm-hmm.
And it's just, and then they're like, really? You know? And I said, sure, give me a call.
And it's changed so much, you know, over the years as to how you communicate with folks. But the spoken word, when you can just spend some time chatting back and forth. And,
right.
You know.
And that happens
stuff.
A lot. That mm-hmm. happens a lot. But, you know, but it's, again, they still feel, they can even feel it through the email that you're giving it a personal touch, you know. And they're very grateful and they express their gratitude, you know.
What are your, Mr. Bobby, what are your, like, favorite tours that you do? I mean, and I know you're driving the bus, but is there a special offering that y'all do that you like more than anything else?
Well, we do city tours. They like riding up and down San Jose.
No, what you like.
Oh, what I like.
Yes.
Okay. Well, I go drive cross country too now. I do a lot of that.
Uh-huh.
And I like the highway. But nothing like the city, though, because, like I say, I like to do the plantation, and I like to do the city tours and stuff like that.
And what do you hear from folks? The one thing that you hear about, you know, any of these presentations that kind of strikes you?
Well, there's certain areas like when you're riding and looking, they say, wow, I didn't know people do that, you know. And then try the food. They say the food is delicious. And you can walk around and see, like, the French quarters and, you know, enjoy that type of stuff. They love it, you know.
What would you say is the question that they ask you more often than not?
Well, they say, well, like I said, Mardi Gras. They say, do those kind of things at Mardi Gras? Is that real? I say, yes, that's what we do. Throw me something, mister. We drive down St. Charles Avenue, bees still in the trees. You know,
right.
Wow, you know.
Right.
They ask immediately, what's that and why?
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And when you're communicating with folks, what is the question that strikes you as being the oddest that they may ask?
Well, for years, well, no, I won't go there. What I really like to share, because, you know, a lot of people have the impression that Mardi Gras is Bourbon Street.
Mm-hmm.
And what I tell people is, yeah, you're gonna want to go there at least once. You know, you want to see it once to see what the excitement is, or the girls gone wild, or whatever, you know. Okay. But I say,
do they go wild in the French Quarter?
Sometimes they do. But let me tell you, in my opinion, that's not the locals. So by process of elimination, okay. But what I love to tell them is Mardi Gras is a family event. And I said, you just go down St. Charles Avenue and see the ladders and see the picnics going on. And, year after year, a family and friends meet at the same corner. And it's an amazing event that we have here.
Well, let me say congratulations to both of you. And again, on behalf of our community, the place that we call home, thank you so much for being just incredible ambassadors. And this organization is real. And if they're recognizing you, you guys are obviously going above and beyond. And I'm sure your peers recognize it as well. And that's just got to feel incredible. And we're just so very excited for both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
And thank you so much, Mr. Bobby Green and Miss Bobby Menino.
All right.
I may know somebody in your family. Ms. Menino.
Okay. Maybe so.
I think I do.
All right.
But congratulations again, and have a great week, and keep up the great work.
All right. Thank you.
We appreciate it. We'll be right back. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. Stay with us. We've got more coming your way. Welcome back, folks. We are here at the New Orleans Hilton Riverside for the National Travel and Tourism Luncheon that's being put on by New Orleans and Company in honor of the National Travel and Tourism Week that's going on right now. And we are joined by Chris Landry, the president and CEO of Louisiana Travel Association. Chris, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. What an event this is. I mean, they're
partying hard out
like
there.
In the terrace of the Superdome on Sunday.
They're second line and all over the room at the present time. So, Chris, for the benefit of the listening audience, tell us about the Louisiana Travel Association.
Sure. So think of us as like the Chamber of Commerce for tourism for the state. So we've got about 600 members from all four corners of the state. They range from convention and visitors bureaus to attractions, restaurants, small businesses, really anything you think of when you think of tourism, we think we have them as a member.
Yeah. So, you know, we've talked to a lot of folks in the industry about what they see as some of the challenges and, you know, what we do well and things of that nature. From your perspective, tell us about that.
So I overheard Walt and Lieutenant Governor talking earlier, and in 2024, our visitor spend in Louisiana was $18.9 billion.
Wow.
And let me put that in perspective.
Say that again.
$18.9 billion. Okay, so what does that mean? So we're both football fans. We love LSU. I'm going to be the first person on your show that's going to say LSU is going to win the national championship this year. But when we look at the SEC, okay, $18.9 billion puts Louisiana right there at number six in all the SEC schools, okay? So we're never going to be number one. We're never going to be a Florida. We're never going to be Texas. We're most probably never going to be Tennessee. Those numbers are in the hundreds of billions of dollars. But for us to be at number six, above five other states in our region, really says a lot. Y'all have talked a lot about punching above your weight, and we really think Louisiana, that's a huge kudos to the Lieutenant Governor. He and his team bust their butts every day to promote Louisiana to the world.
Yeah, you know, we're not that populated of a state, right? About 4.3 million people
in
the state.
So when you look at Georgia, the city of Atlanta, in the Atlanta metro area, their population is as big as our state.
Yeah. And we don't sometimes put that in context and what the ripple effect of that truly means.
And we also don't have a beach. Right. So when you think of Alabama, they are one ahead of us. We have more visitors annually than Alabama. But from a visitor spend, their guests are coming to the beach and staying for a week. Ours may come to Mardi Gras, stay for a night or two. So all those numbers are kind of relative. When you look at actual visitors, we're number five.
Yeah. So you get to visit with all of the organizations like New Orleans and Company that are represented across the state. Walt and I talked about how I think it's kind of unique in how we come together in the state. You interact with other states. What do you see about what we do that really works that you don't see in other places?
We have 38 convention and visitors bureaus in our state, and all 38 of them work together. You have such a treasure to your listeners here with Walt and his team at New Orleans and Company. Not every other state has them. Walt and I just got back from Washington, D.C. together, and it is so refreshing to hear how well people talk about Walt and the rest of his team. They do such a great job. But for Walt, there's a great team in Lake Charles, Lafayette, Baton Rouge. And I think that so many of our stakeholders in our state are on boards like for the U.S. Travel Association or for Destinations International, that they take all those ideas and marry them together here. And it really kind of gets everybody in sync.
Folks don't realize how important it is to be in the upper echelons of these trade organizations, right?
Well, that's where all the ideas come from. I mean, how do you, you know, you can't, you know, during COVID, not being able to meet face-to-face really hurt, I think, a lot of us. And so now being able to meet together, share ideas, really helps all of our people.
What do you see as one of our biggest challenges?
You know, I think that the work right now that's being done in the legislature to improve our roads, you know, if I have to look at one thing, you know, when, and this kind of goes overlooked, but when people drive down I-10 and they're stuck in traffic in Baton Rouge and stuck in traffic in Lafayette or stuck in traffic in New Orleans, you know, that's not the most pleasant first experience. And so I think that, you know, we're taking steps in the right direction there. And I'd love to see that get figured out some kind of way.
I hope to be alive for a new bridge in Baton Rouge.
Yeah.
Even as a local, it's kind of painful to say, right, I'm going to travel west on the I-10, not knowing. You know, it's the same thing in Alabama. If you go to Florida, it's all about the tunnel. If you don't time it right, forget about it. I mean, you take an otherwise pleasant trip becomes a miserable trip.
Ruined. Absolutely.
You know, and we have that same challenge in Baton Rouge.
Yep.
It looks like we're going to get the Lake Charles thing resolved first, right?
I hope so. I mean, they've been talking about all these for so long. You know, hopefully we can put pen to paper here and get some action.
Now, you guys spent a lot of time lobbying the legislature. What is the top issue for you guys in this session this year?
So one thing we always want to do is make sure that we protect occupancy taxes, right? We want to make sure that everyone is paying them, A, and B, that those occupancy taxes are staying to go to support things that New Orleans and companies do and things like Visit the North Shore is doing. We've had a couple bills this session that have kind of threatened it, but the legislators, once we educate them, that I think most of them understand that's what
that's an
for.
Easy dot to connect,
yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, so many,
that's probably our
fronts.
Biggest one.
Yeah, absolutely.
We fight for.
Well, best of luck to you, Chris Landry, President and CEO of the Louisiana Travel Association. Thank you so much for joining us, and have a great week.
Yes, sir. I'm honored to be on your show.
All righty. Thank you. We'll be right back, folks. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. Stay with us. Okay, folks, when we come back after the top of the hour news break, we're going to be visiting with Stephanie Turner, Senior Vice President of Convention Sales and Strategy with New Orleans & Company. She brings a lot of energy. I know she was just second lining out there. The music's going. And Kim Preetz, as well as Jeremy Cooker. They have a lot of great information to bring your way. So stay with us, and we will be breaking for the news about the new Pope, if that happens here in the next hour as well. So stay with us. We'll be right back. This is Newell on WWL. That's right, folks. We're here for the National Travel and Tourism Luncheon at the Hilton New Orleans Riverside, being hosted by New Orleans and Company. A big week for travel and tourism folks across the country. And trust me when I tell you that if there's something happening with the Pope, we're going to break away. We're going to provide that coverage for you. You'll know first right here at WWL as to who the next Pope is going to be. We're waiting for the drop of the banner because that's kind of the first indication that things are about to start happening. But in the meantime, we will visit with a very special person, Stephanie Turner, Senior Vice President of Convention Sales and Strategies, New Orleans & Company. She's always bringing a lot of energy, a lot of great news, and she's got a tough, tough task. You sell something sometimes 20 years out.
Yes, we do.
And it's hard to wrap my head around that, you know, because sales is usually immediacy, right? It's like it's a point of sale transaction, right? You know, you give me money, I give you a product.
We give you a relationship that lasts a really long time. Yeah. And we represent the best of what New Orleans offers, and we are the umbrella that brings it all together. So not only do we manage relationships on the customer side, and if they change or move, that things that happen in people's careers, but also our hotel partners, our venues, our attractions. So we are consistently managing, building, and maintaining relationships.
Yeah. And you create almost like a special event as we try to lure these folks to have their conventions here because the competition's so intense.
We do. We, back in September, when we presented to our industry at our State of the Pace event, and we talk about our strategies for the next year, and we had met in convention sales. We have a wonderful team, seasoned, professional, well-known, and we decided collectively that we have customers that are in town all the time on site visits, but we would target geographic regions and cities and industries and create immersive experiences to stand out from the competition. New Orleans is perceived very well as a fun place, but the fun factor can sometimes get missed by the seriousness. So we took on this task of showing both. And we just concluded the second one last week. We had 23 people in, and we concluded with Jazz Fest and had an incredible experience with them. And we saw from a pre-event survey that about 33 to 40% weren't sure about how they felt being here. And our initial post-event surveys are looking very positive. Like, we changed those minds. So now we have to get the contract signed.
Now you get the contract signed, who knows how many years out, right?
Could be 2, 3, 4, 5, 10, 2040.
Yeah.
They all matter because we're Absolutely. That foundational layer, right? They all
Well,
matter.
You have this one kind of space of time, and for an event that's not going to happen for quite a long time, right?
Right. The biggest events require the biggest space.
Right.
Right. Super Bowls, hematologies, all these full convention, 1 million square feet of convention center space, but also hotel space. So many of our large meetings are 30 to 40 hotels. So we have to coordinate all that and then put together the proposal and then go bid and compete against other cities. So there is a booking window for every size meeting. And so what you see us doing is it looks like we're always entertaining, but we have to be very strategic about what's going to come in 6 months, what's going to come in the summer, what's going to come in between special events. I think for me, I'm such a football person. I think of us as an offensive line, mm-hmm. right? We're the people that just keep on doing the work, and our wonderful events that we get to be a part of, Mardi Gras, Jazz Fest, festivals, are our quarterback, right? Our really featured players, if you will.
And there's an added dimension to this that I got to make. I have to figure complicates this, because there's a lot of pressure from what we're just doing here, week in, and we have a fair and festival for every living creature that ever walked the face of the earth, and every flower and every plant and every, yeah, and so that creates constriction in the availability a little bit, I have to imagine, depending on the size of these events and everything else. And some of our competition probably doesn't have that dynamic.
Right. And sometimes, you know, what we're seeing too is I can think about 18 cities that have convention center expansions or new hotel projects. So I think our big festivals are very well known. The things that are small that we don't know about, the rest of the country doesn't know about. So we try to also highlight those mm-hmm. to help lift those up
right.
and then bring people in for those. But yes, I think the festival model is very good for us, because the thing that we do, I think, best in New Orleans is we're just joyful. And the rest of the country, I mean, is not always as joyful as we are. So I think that's a really important thing that we bring to a difficult nation right now yeah. is joy.
Stephanie, I have this vision in my head that you're sitting like in the middle of this war room, and there's these computer screens all wrapped around, and
well,
there's a matrix, you know.
There is.
And you know, and it's like, all right, I'm not betting on that group saying yes. Move them from that screen to that screen over there, you know. But this one, I'm feeling good vibes with.
That's exactly what we do. So our sales team says that, and every Monday at 9 o'clock is our sales meeting, which. It's a great way to start the week. But our sales conference room, Kelly's looking at me. Kelly Schultz, our SVP of Communications.
Wait, excuse me one second. Go ahead, Coleman. All right, we're gonna spin out here real quick there for the announcement relative to the Pope. We'll go to CBS News. All right, folks, welcome back. We are going to take a break, and we'll be right back. Stay with us. We just learned an Augustinian priest, Cardinal Robert Francis Prevost, is now Pope Leo XIV, the fifth pope to be elected in 2 days since 1900. He's 69 years of age, and he is the 267th pontiff. We are here for the New Orleans and Company National Travel and Tourism Week celebration, and we've recognized some folks that work in this industry that are receiving awards, and there are many others. But we are now joined by Kim Priez, Senior Vice President of Tourism with New Orleans & Company. She deals a lot with the international side of this business. Kim, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. Yes, so I handle things, our department takes care of things that are not meetings or conventions, so anything leisure group related, weddings, family reunions, if you need to do something in a celebratory situation for a group, that I handle that. But we also, I oversee international. So the international market is going through a tough time right now. But the one thing that we know is our international visitors adore New Orleans. So we compete with cities like New York, Los Angeles, San Francisco, Florida, and we hold our own because New Orleans has had a reputation since the 1700s as being one of the places that is uniquely New Orleans, uniquely American. And we see about 500,000 international visitors a year from all over the world. Canada is our number one market. Right now, they are a little reluctant, but the rest of Europe, South America, Australia, they're all coming because we're on their bucket list. They're always saying, where are the top five places you want to go in America? And we're always in that number.
You know, I got to imagine that a number of the of these folks as children growing up, studying the history of their country and the influence that they had on our city and the fact that their very country's flag may have flown over this city. It has to be a little bit of a draw as well, right?
It is. We have so much history, and we call ourselves an American masterpiece because we are, if you know, even when times are tough and people can't travel to Europe, the domestic market comes to New Orleans because we look like a European destination. But they do follow their heritage through New Orleans because of all the, you know, from Nova Scotia, from France itself, from, we were as much Spanish for as many years as we were French. So there's a lot of connection points. But for the younger generation, they just want to come because they've heard so much about us. It's such a walkable, wonderful, friendly city. And it's on,
like Europe.
Like Europe, exactly. And it's just one of those places that, you know, if you don't come the first time you come to America, because we're not usually the first place they come, when they're doing their second and third trip, New Orleans is always on that list. And that has what, that's why we are one of the best visited American cities outside of the biggies. We don't have a gateway airport.
Right.
So the fact that we get 500,000 visitors that come to New Orleans and they don't fly direct is quite telling. The British Airways flight's doing extremely well. And we hope that that continues and that we can expand into other international airports.
Absolutely. And that's an area that we know we have the opportunity to grow, right?
Absolutely.
So, Kim, as always, thank you so much for joining us. Kim Priest, Senior Vice President of Tourism New Orleans and Company. Appreciate the information that you have provided. Best of luck and keep up the great work. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right, folks, we'll be right back to 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line. Stay with us. Welcome back, folks, for our continuing coverage of our national travel and tourism event here at the New Orleans Hilton Riverside Hotel that's being hosted by New Orleans and Company. And joining us now is Jeremy Cooker, Senior Vice President of Marketing New Orleans and Company. And one of the things that he does is he drives summer business. So he actually convinces people that it's cool here, and there's no humidity here in the summer.
It's 72 degrees inside all summer long.
Yeah.
Thanks for having me.
And trust me, that will be the coolest place you go.
Look, we've got the air conditioning down, that's for sure.
Absolutely. So all kidding aside, though, the summer book of business is incredibly important to the sustenance of so much about this city, right?
That's right. I mean, we've got to keep the people coming here. I mean, fortunately, we have such a beautiful city for people to visit. There's so many things to do throughout the year. Summer is a particularly important time to drive visitors here, though. And so we have a couple different campaigns that we are running to inspire and encourage that visitation.
Yeah. I know that y'all stay in contact with a lot of folks that come here during the summer. And what is typically their reaction?
Well, I think a lot of it for us is just getting people here, making them aware that we're here. We have lots for them to do when they get here. And then once they're here, the city sells itself.
Yeah.
I mean, you just have to go out one night Frenchman Street, French Quarter, strolling along Royal Street, all over the city. I mean, just to plug into what we have as a destination, I think that's 95% of it right there.
Last summer, my wife and I went down to Snug Harbor to see Trumpet Mafia play. It was a Monday night, if I recall. And we walked out of there, and it was like Mardi Gras outside. Yeah. I mean, I was just blown away and shocked by how many people were out there on the street.
Yeah, you know, we have more music in those two blocks of Frenchman Street than most cities have in an entire city on one night, on any given night. So it's a treasure. It's, again, one of those things that we like to promote about the city is it's really about the experience. It's the experience you have when you come here that you can't really get anywhere else.
And there's a lot of folks. Do you have a problem with folks just trying to decide whether to come here, whether it's a kid-friendly city?
You know, I think that we have done a really good job promoting some of the fantastic family attractions that we have, but there's always more that we can do. We work year-round. We just did something yesterday, a collaboration on social media. That's a big part of our efforts to promote what's happening in Audubon Institute with their Sip and Dip programs. Yeah. And a lot of that's a little regional, a little closer drive-in, but we have one of the best zoos, one of the best aquariums in the world. We have one of the top, we have steamboats. We have all kinds of different things that people can play in. We have one of the top history museums in the World War II Museum.
Absolutely.
Things that families come here and sometimes they're often surprised at how many things there are to do for kids.
You know, even for me growing up in the city of New Orleans, I couldn't wait to get to San Francisco as a kid to ride the trolley car.
Right.
You know,
right.
I mean, it's those little things. It's different than ours, you know, because it connects to a cable underground.
Yeah, kids love that. They love it. It's like a $1.10 tour of the city. So
exactly. Yeah. And I'm wondering do we get that same reaction about?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think that's what you start to see, and that's what makes the job so rewarding when you hear back from families who come in and say, "This was an amazing experience. We had the best time of our lives. We never thought New Orleans had so much." And so, yeah, we've gotten tons of positive feedback.
When we think about, we've always referred to kind of the fall, the spring as the convention season. Does that change any?
I mean, it's cyclical. And so our convention sales team, I think you spoke with Stephanie Turner earlier, they're working around the clock to book business year round. Historically, it does tend to fall. That business tends to fall in the spring and fall. But oftentimes we'll bring in, 20,000 Lutherans over the summer to come in and help out with different projects and have their convention here. And so it just depends on what that team is booking throughout the year.
Yeah. Marketing.
Yeah.
This is a really competitive business, and I guess you have to have your finger on the pulse of what's moving the needle, so to speak, and it's so dynamic and changing.
It really is. I've been doing it for a while. I started in the mid-90s promoting New Orleans, and I thought, well, this can't be that hard. It's New Orleans. How hard is it? But, we compete heavily with a lot of similar destinations. I think New Orleans stands on its own in a lot of ways, but we have to continue to get the message out. There's a lot of different opportunities for people to go on a trip. And so the more we do to remind people about New Orleans and all the great assets that we have, the better it is for everyone. And we've gotten very sophisticated with how we're marketing, too. You know, we're looking at a lot of different data to find exactly the right travelers to get the right message in front of them at the right time.
Yeah. It's different today than it was 20 years ago, right?
It's much different, much different game. I mean, we have most of our, a lot of our work is really heavily into social now, social media.
Absolutely, no doubt. Well, thank you so much for joining us, Jeremy Cooker, Senior Vice President of Marketing, New Orleans & Company. Keep up the great work. I mean, it's phenomenal the outcomes that we've been able to experience. And as a result of that, folks, I remind you, we have access to things that we typically would not have but for this tourism industry and business and these folks that are working hard to bring the conventions and everybody else here. There's so many offerings here that you wouldn't see in a city this size ever, nowhere. And that's something, another benefit that we often forget about. We'll be right back, folks. Stay with us.
Thanks, Noel.
Scoot joins us. What do we have coming up, Scoot?
Well, we'll talk about the new pope. First time ever there's an American pope. Is this going to be a pope that's going to continue with Pope Francis' stuff? We don't know.